Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Tommy, it's been a really crazy week. Both you and I have been out of the office looking at new cars. You flew to LA and I flew to Dallas. Well, actually, Plano.
That's right, yeah, and we've been looking at cars from a couple of different manufacturers, and in this video, we're telling you about the news you need to know.
Yeah, these are going to be the latest and greatest, both electric BMWs and electric and gasoline-powered Toyotas. So the ones we're going to be covering, what did you go see in LA?
Well, I saw two brand new BMWs. So the BMW i4, yep, which is an all-electric sports coupe, and then the new BMW iX, which is a ground-up EV SUV.
You were actually there for the world debut.
Well, yes.
Sort of, kind of. Yeah, and I was there for the world debut, this is true, of the brand new Toyota Corolla Cross.
Okay.
And for the American debut of the GR86.
That's right, yeah. So we're going to go over all the details you need to know. We're going to talk about what our initial impressions are, and you're not going to want to miss this one.
Yeah, we're also going to be talking about two other vehicles that I saw. I saw a really cool Lexus LX that Toyota has done up like a concept. And, of course, the all-electric Toyota Beyond Zero BZ4X. What a horrible name. Sorry, Toyota. I had to think long and hard on that one. And so before we get to that, Tommy, can I tell you about an epiphany I had?
Yeah, what's your epiphany?
Well, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and one of my favorites is actually Seen Through Glass. He's this British car dude who does one with like a high-end exotic car salesman or owner of a dealership. I'm not sure. You know, in UK, if you're a car guy or car gal, you know what they're called.
What?
They're called petrol heads.
Okay.
Right? And the problem with that is sometimes language defines the way you think about things. And if you consider yourself a petrol head in the UK, if you're listening to this, then, you know, you're not into the vehicle or the car per se, but you're into what powers it, right? What defines you is not the vehicle, but what powers it. And the epiphany that I had is I don't really care what powers it. I don't care if it's electricity, if it's hydrogen, if it's gasoline, if it's diesel, if it's 1,400 rabbit squirrels, you know, on a treadmill. I care about the vehicle. To me, the vehicle is important. So, I was talking to some friends at the Toyota program this week, and they had a lot of journalists there, by the way, like almost 100. And, you know, one of the executives there made a comment that was kind of interesting. They said that, you know, electric vehicles are soulless. I disagree. I think they've got just a different kind of soul. So I don't care, you know, how it's powered. What I care about is that it's a car. Or a truck.
Your reasoning makes no sense.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you call car enthusiasts here in the States?
What?
Gearheads.
Well, every car has gears.
And well, not really.
There's always a gear.
No, electric cars are direct drive, aren't they?
there's even a gear in, you know, there's gears meshing in that electric car.
I have to say, that is one of the silliest reasonings you've ever made about.
Really?
Yes. I think I've met a lot of UK petrol heads that are super in electric cars. So I disagree with that. I think that doesn't make a lot of sense. But interesting point there you tried to make.
No, I think it's a good point. I think if you're into cars, you're into cars, and what powers them is irrelevant.
Well, yeah, but petrolhead is just like saying car enthusiast.
No, it's saying you know, a petrol defines, it's not petrol car, it's petrol head. It's what
but
defines
James
you.
May is a big petrol head, and he drives electric cars.
But petrol is gasoline.
I know.
You're defining yourself as somebody who loves gasoline. Petrol head.
That's just a colloquial term.
But the way people no, it's not. It's the way you define something.
So
it's the way you think about something.
What about James May? He's a big fan of EVs. He's a petrol head. He's a petrol head who loves electric cars.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, because there's always outliers. And if there's anybody who's an outlier, it's James May from Top Gear.
I don't know, Dad. I think that's some seriously questionable reasoning there.
All right. Well, let's start with the BMWs, huh? So actually, before we start with that, if you guys are listening to this and you enjoy it on our, you know, Apple Podcast or one of the other platforms that this appears on, and you want to help support the team, we would greatly appreciate it. Head on over to Patreon/TFL Car.
Okay.
And become a subscriber, and you'll get early access to a lot of our videos, and you'll get our eternal gratefulness. If you notice, we do not have commercials on this. If you listen to most podcasts, you got to either fast forward through or sit through, like, it's getting ridiculous now, like, you know, 20 minutes of commercials before we actually get to the real content. And here, you know, you get the stuff right away. And the reason we're doing it that way is because, you know, we want to keep it, you know, commercial free as much as we can. And the way that we do that is by having people like our Patreons help support, or patrons help support basically the channel and this podcast. So, you know, it's not monetized over, at least YouTube monetizes, we put up on YouTube, but it's not monetized on the audio version of it. So we'd really appreciate your support.
It's worth noting, though, we are calling out other podcasts for doing commercials while doing our own commercial.
For yeah, but it's like NPR mm-hmm. model, right?
Interesting.
It's like an NPR
interesting
model. Oh, for guys.
Very
sake.
Suspicious today here.
All right. At least we don't do, like, you know, 3-day marathons. A whole 3 weeks of podcasts asking you to become a supporter. Let's get to the BMW. So tell me about the two. First, let's start with the one that I'm looking at, which is the one over my shoulder, which I take it is the iX. That is a bold grill, my man.
So the iX is the more interesting of the two.
Yeah.
We should probably talk about that one second, actually.
All right.
So the first one is the i4. The i4 is a four-door sedan
mm-hmm.
that is largely based on the 4-series gasoline car. And there may not be a brand new 4-series Grand Coupe, but if there is one coming, it will probably look like this. So it's all electric. It still has the big kidney grills, as you pointed out in the front. Rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive forms. Starts at about $56,000. The rear-wheel drive one will go from 0 to 60 in 5.7 seconds. The all-wheel drive one, which is called the M50, will do it in under 4 seconds. It's got over 500 horsepower. The range is estimated to be 300 miles in its highest configuration. 81 kilowatt hour battery. It's got fast charging. And I think it looks really good.
What's the rate on the charging? Do you remember?
200 kilowatts is
that's
the
okay.
peak rate. Yeah.
You know, the big news, of course, was that the IONIQ 5 just came out, and that had a potential charge rate at 800 volts of 350. But, you know, we've had a number of electric cars, and the highest speed I've ever seen on our Tesla is 168, I think.
Well, it's all about the state of charge of the battery and the
yeah,
temperature outside.
So that top number is a little misleading. It doesn't mean a lot.
And there's also the question about the curve, because they typically charge quickly at first and then slowly ramp down or quickly
sure.
ramp down. So we'll have to see what that's like on the BMW. But I like the i4 because it's basically what you'd expect in a gasoline-powered Beamer that just happens to be electric. So it's very familiar. The shifter is familiar. The interior is familiar. The steering wheel, the way you turn it on. I mean, it's all very...
Is there a frunk?
There's no frunk.
There's no frunk.
It's all kind of very comfortable and easy to understand.
And you said rear wheel or all wheel?
Yes,
okay, both.
Yes, yeah, so it's got...
two motor or one motor.
Two motors or one motor. That's exactly right. Starts at about 56,000. So there's one called the eDrive 40i.
Yeah.
And then the M50i.
What's the battery size?
81.
That's pretty good.
Kilowatt hours.
Yeah.
Yep, it's liquid cooled. BMW is very proud of this. They build their own motors in-house. So some folks outsource that, but they build their own electric
They've
motors.
They've always done, you know, Honda and BMW, that's how they started.
Yeah.
By becoming engine.
They're very passionate about
yeah.
the BMW and the drive gear too. I don't think they do the batteries.
BMW
but,
started as an airplane engine manufacturer.
Yeah,
right?
But
Honda
it's cool.
Honda started as a motorcycle.
I like it a lot because I think that for a lot of folks, cars like the Polestar 2 and the Tesla Model 3, which this competes with, are a little bit too out there, a little bit too wacky, and a little bit too weird. And the i4 is much more conservative, and it's got the new iDrive 8 system. So it's got a 12.3-inch display and a 14-inch display that are under one piece of curved glass. They're very excited about that. It's going to have 5G capability. And it's been redesigned. Overall, I think the i4 looks like a winner.
When is it available?
It will be available starting the first quarter of next year. So I believe they're going to start building them in November of this year. Mm. And then they'll be around next year.
Okay. All right. And talk to me about this one, the iX. That's the one I've been seeing in all the commercials. I've been watching a lot of like downhill skiing, and they have it. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
In Bob, I think they sponsor the bobsledding in Federation. It looks cool. It looks like it's, you know, another mid-size crossover.
Well, so the i4 is largely based on the gasoline platform
right.
that they converted
this is all
into
new.
Electric. The iX is ground up new electric platform.
Like the i3 and the i8.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly like that. It's made out of a really interesting carbon reinforced plastic monocoque. So just like the i3, remember, mm-hmm. it's kind of that carbon fiber-ish monocoque. It's about the size of an X5, so it's a big car.
It is a big car.
Very big car. But height-wise, it's about the same as an X6. So dimensionally outside, X5 size, but height is X6. The battery is 106 kilowatt hours usable. Mm-hmm. They're targeting 300 miles of range in this one. Also 200 kilowatts. Also over 500 horsepower. And they're saying 0 to 60 in 4.6 seconds.
Wow, yeah, it's quick.
It's pretty good.
I don't get why, like, obviously this is competing with, like, the potentially the Tesla Model X, right?
It's bigger. So the price is $83,200 starting.
So you can get a Tesla Model X, right, that will do, if you get the performance, which is more expensive, it's like 106 now, I think, 108. You can get that as quickly as, I think, 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds. So why is BMW just letting Tesla? There's no reason to let Tesla be that quick. It's just a matter of really, you know, an algorithm that runs in the background, right? They can use more power to send more power to the motors to give you a quicker acceleration. Why wouldn't BMW be like, we're not going to take it from Tesla, we're going to make it as quick as a Tesla?
Okay, so a couple of things.
Yeah.
First of all, this one doesn't compete with the performance. So this one competes with the long range. So the long range Model X is also about $83,000.
Yeah, and how much goes to 0-60 on it?
3.8.
And this one's 4.
4.6.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's almost a second slower.
I think Tesla's being a little optimistic with their 0-60 times, because when we tested ours, we could never get it on the Model X to the
The problem with the Model X is it's got air suspension and you got to put it in its lowest setting.
Right, it's a little seedy. And the other thing too is Tesla's saying 360 miles on a single charge, which is also pretty suspect. I'm not sure a Model X will actually go 360 miles on a single charge.
To me, BMW builds performance machines, right? They're all about sport. Yeah.
Hang on, they didn't say it, right? But I would be amazed if they didn't have an M version. I think there's going to be a much faster version of the iX.
Yeah, it's too late. Tesla came out with that Model X like 5 years ago. There should be an M version out like 4 years ago.
Well, who is buying big SUVs to go from 0 to 60? There's going to be a specialized customer. This is not that person.
It's like who's buying the X5M and who's buying the X6M.
Well, it
sets the tone for the company, and it kind of smacks down BMW's performance car cred. And when you've got a car that's brand new out of the box that's already slower than a Model X, I just kind of question, why isn't BMW saying, you know, we've had not 10 years of performance car development, but we've had whatever it is, 100 years, right? And we're going to show you what we can do.
I think, first of all,
that's what I want BMW.
The buyer, smack
it down, dudes.
The buyer of this car,
yeah.
The buyer of this car and the base Model X aren't in it for the performance. I don't think that's why you're buying a base X. The Plaid, for sure. So there's a new Plaid Model X coming, which is $112,000.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at this thing, and there's nothing, like, for me at least, that makes it lust worthy. Right, and I'm a big BMW fan. I love the brand. I think that the brand has built some of the best and most interesting cars in the last 50 years. But yet, I look at this, and I'm like, if it's not particularly, like, you know, let's face it, with those big open kindy grill, it's very controversial, right? You did the video, it's up on TFL Car, and people were like, this thing's ugly.
Well, wait till you see it in person.
Okay.
It looks much better in person. I didn't like it in pictures. I thought it was very ungainly, but in person, it's...
But you see what I'm saying? There's nothing in me that would be like, oh, I want that.
Yeah, well, okay. First of all, it's not going to fall apart,
you know,
a Model X.
You know what made me want the Model X that we bought?
What? And the stupid doors that don't work in the garage?
No.
Or the fact that the trunk wouldn't fit right?
Trend raced it against an Alfa Romeo, towing an Alfa Romeo, and it beat the Alfa Romeo. Remember that?
Yes.
In a drag strip. It was racing the...
But once again, this iX isn't the fast one. Where is the fast one?
Where is it?
It will be coming eventually.
Where?
Why do they have to reveal the fast one first?
Because Tesla's out there like cleaning their clock. Where is the fast one?
All right, so let's talk about the interior.
The i8 was very lustworthy.
The i8 was slower than this.
It was slower, but it was, at least design-wise, it was just pure, beautiful sculpture on wheels.
And get this, the iX has a...
This is a box with a big grill.
The iX has a lower drag coefficient than the i8.
That's not going to make me want it.
This car...
That does nothing for my lust factor. Nothing.
Have you been inside of this? Have you sat in the new iX?
I have not.
You should probably sit in one.
But most people won't sit in it. They'll be like, how quick is it? What makes it special? And if there's nothing, Then, you know, anyway.
So apart from Dad the fanboy with Tesla.
No, I'm not a fanboy.
You are a fanboy.
I am not a fanboy.
You are
a fanboy. I hate being called a fanboy because it's not true. You know, every inch of my inner being has no, like, dog in the race with these cars. I am a fanboy of new tech, and I will, you know, tip my hat to when a manufacturer comes along and does something that's new and interesting and I've never seen. For instance, in this car, the most interesting video you did with it, which I watched, was that little BMW logo on the front. What does it do?
Yeah, it opens up, and then that's where you pour the washer fluid, but that's gimmicky.
That's cool.
That's not the point of this car.
I love that.
So the point of this car is it's not going to be about big Tesla people.
You know, I'm not a fanboy also of Tesla because the part that really was shocking was when Tesla and Musk started accepting Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is like the worst environmental disaster right now that's quietly happening because it uses more power in the quote-unquote mining than the entire state of New York does. And what I don't understand is when I was interviewing Mr. Musk about 10 years ago, and he said the whole reason for Tesla's being was to help, you know, curb climate change and to help offset carbon emissions. And then what does he do? You know, out of the blue, he accepts it's like accepting coal as payment for a car. It made absolutely no sense. Look, that's why I'm not a fanboy, Tommy.
There's only two things Tesla fans talk about. What are the two things?
I don't know.
Only two things.
I'm not on Teslarati. I'm not on their website.
You said one of the things over and over. There are two things that Tesla people come back to over and over.
What?
0 to 60.
Yeah, so when we talk about the TRX, what do I talk about?
That's a race truck.
What do I talk? 0 to 60. That's
is
what
this
I talk
a race
about.
Car?
But that's what I talk about.
Is this a race car?
It has nothing to do with Tesla. It's the way, look, everybody, you know, everybody is out there, like we just, at Toyota, right? We had the chance to take some cars on the racetrack yesterday, right? And I chose not to do that because it's not my thing. And more importantly, I think most people out there don't go and race cars around a racetrack because it's expensive, it's hard to do, there's a certain level of skill to it. But what a lot of people do is either go to the drag strip because it's easy, or they do, you know, impromptu stoplight drag races. So to me, that number is much more important than necessarily the handling dynamics of a
vehicle.
No
one is going to be bringing an IX to a drag strip.
No,
I can guarantee you that.
And that's
so
a
why
shame.
Does it matter? Why does a 0-60 time matter? This is meant for people like my mom who drives an X5. She has never, ever hit the overboost function on the X5. The X5 is launch control. She has never used launch control in that car.
Right, but so are you saying that instead of selling it to, you know, this larger segment of buyers who are people like me, like your mom, you know, who are enthusiasts, you're just going to say, you know what, this thing isn't for people like enthusiasts. It's not for, you know, people who care about performance. It's only for women who are taking their kids to school. That's
no,
bullshit.
It's a luxury SUV. Why does it have to go 0 to 60? And a Rolls Royce doesn't do 0 to 60
because the competition does. The competition does.
One of the competition does. The e-tron is slower than this.
The competition does, yeah. And I somehow don't understand. You know, this is another thing I don't understand, Tommy. And once again, nothing to do with Tesla fanboyism, but a lot to do with, like there is so much incredible hyper-competition in every segment. So the Germans, right? There's no segment that the Germans will not compete in, even if it's like some weird segment like, you know, a two-door coupe or some, you know, weird two-door coupe hybrid with a hatchback, right? If BMW is building it, I promise you that Mercedes will do one and Audi will do one. But yet, you know, the biggest competitor, which is Tesla, because let's face it, you know, once upon a time and forever, the 3 Series was the go-to car most people who wanted a performance sedan, right? Car and Driver named it their car of the year for like 8,000 years in a row, and that was the standard. And then overnight, literally, the Model 3 became the standard for that. And that's because BMW did not directly compete with their car against the Tesla. And all those people for ages were buying 3 Series or renting them or, you know, leasing them, all of a sudden said, you know, there's a cooler kid in town, and they all went that way.
Okay, all I'm saying, I think the interior in this car was way nicer than the Model X.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's got this really interesting and innovative interior.
But that's not what BMW is known for.
Well, we have never driven it.
Right.
This might be the best driving car in class.
I hope so.
It may be the worst, but it may be the best.
I hope so.
I mean, I did talk to some people that drove the i4 because they were doing prototype drives of the i4. And apparently that's supposed to be incredible. It's supposed to be a really nice car to drive. So I'm hoping the iX is the same way. But the interior is really cool. It's got this floating center console where there's a pass-through. The seat controls are these little crystals that are on the doors. It's got a steering wheel that's hexagonal like a jet. It's got that crazy wraparound screen, that curved glass screen. It's just a really cool interior. Look, there's problems with it. I agree. It won't charge on the Tesla supercharging network. That's a big deal.
Once again, it boils down to, I think that traditional automobile executives who are, let's face it, my age, have a really hard time wrapping themselves around the idea that today's cars are no longer powered by internal combustion engines, or you can have a car that is not soulless, that is also electric. I think they just, you know, when you're brought up with something and you live and breathe and eat, you know, petrol and the way that it works, whether it's a normally aspirated car, a supercharged car, and the way that, you know, you can produce power and the different ways you can, you know, make it rev differently. I mean, it's hard to take that and throw it out and then start from fresh and kind of have a different approach. But like I said to me, Tommy, it's about the vehicle, not about what powers it.
Well, I think that BMW's done it with this. I really do. I think that there's a lot of enthusiasm within the brand about it. I mean, you can tell. You can tell when the brand folks are excited and when they're not. And I think for the most part, people were very excited within BMW about the iX.
I'm going to be the first one to say, I love the BMW i3. I think I got a bad rap. We bought one, and I think because of the kind of funky and maybe modern, you know, ahead of its time kind of powertrain and layout, people didn't quite get it. But that's a phenomenal car. And the one that I'm still lusting after is the i8. I think the i8 was also wonderful. I think that was a good combination of hybrid power and, you know, the mini powertrain. It's probably the sexiest car of the decade, if you were to ask me.
See, that's where I disagree. I think the i8 was kind of a half-done approach. Mm-hmm. I thought the three-cylinder wasn't very good, and I thought the electric powertrain wasn't very good. I think that the iX is a lot, I mean, it was beautiful, but I think the iX is a lot more impressive.
I get that this is a much bigger market segment, but I wish BMW would have just taken the i8 and made it all electric. You know, taking it to the next level and had that be their halo car.
Look, all I'm saying is, I know you think it's too slow, because I know you're always accelerating from 0 to 60 in 4.6. That's the minimum, apparently. But just wait till they do an M. I think when they do the M, it's going to be pretty impressive.
Like I say, okay, well, let's move on. You know, we'll reserve judgment. I'm you know, I haven't driven it, and you're right, if it's better looking in person than it is, you know, on pictures, when it will be available?
Same thing, so it will go on sale starting spring of next year.
All right, yeah, so let's see, let's wait and see until we get behind the wheel of one and withhold judgment, and then we could do some, you know, you could do some back-to-back testing. We'll still hopefully have the Model Y by that point. Mm-hmm. Unless we have a Cybertruck instead of it, you know,
I doubt that they're going to be out by then, but we'll see.
And let's face it, if I did have a horse in this race, then it certainly wouldn't be Tesla that got rid of their entire PR department, right? So they're not exactly...
I'm just saying, you're overwhelmingly positive about Tesla.
They're not exactly working with journalists right now to help us out.
And people will back me up in the TFL Talk comment section.
All right.
You're overwhelmingly positive about Tesla.
I also was, you know, early adopter of the Macintosh, and it got out of control at one point, too. You know, it's funny, these companies start out, like even Google, right? Do no damage, do no evil, right? It starts out with this kind of really great mission statement, comes up with really innovative products, and then something along the way happens, and it becomes, you know, corporate like everybody else.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, let's talk about where I went.
Okay, yeah, where'd you go?
I went to the Toyota headquarters in Plano, Texas, and they had a whole bunch of new products that they were unveiling. I mean, there were like almost 100 journalists there, and they had their entire courtyard filled with, you know, their current vehicles and a whole bunch of new ones. So the one that I think they're the most excited about is the new Corolla Cross.
Okay.
Which is basically, you know the CHR, right?
Yeah, I do.
So think of it as a CHR, it's the same size, but it is now available in all-wheel drive.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so it's got a little, is it a 2 liter? Maybe a 2 liter. Puts out about 168 horsepower, if I recall. Comes in two trim levels, and you can get in two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. So it's, you know, it's meant to compete in that kind of that renegade segment that's become red hot now. So, you know, for a long time, the midsize crossover segment was really hot, and now we've gone down one level. And it's actually pretty roomy. It's pretty boxy, pretty, you know, it's not going to make your heart pound. If it were me, I would have called it like, you know, like Forded with Bronco and Bronco Sport. I may have called it like a 4Runner Sport. But okay. They went with the Corolla name because, you know, the Corolla is the best-selling car ever, believe it or not. You know that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ever. Outsold the Beetle, outsold everything.
I think yeah.
Worldwide, they sold like 32 million of them. So they went with their most popular and most successful name. And, you know, it's like a little baby Toyota crossover that competes with, like I said, the Renegade, the CHR. What's the Honda version of it? The HRV?
Well, right, so the Toyota is a CHR.
Right.
So
is it? But it competes against that. It's the same
thing. Confusing.
Time. But it's all-wheel drive.
Right.
And it's taller.
CHR is only front-wheel drive.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think it might be all-wheel drive in Europe, but here it's only front-wheel drive.
So then that would be like Renegade, Kona.
HRV.
HRV.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a highly competitive class. So why are they selling both of them?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Never got a good answer to that. But they're kind of you know, now they have two different cars in that small crossover segment.
Well, maybe they're going to axe the CHR.
Maybe, you know. You know, the problem with that car, of course, is it's kind of style over substance, right? It's really tight on the inside. This is much bigger, much more room. It's much more usable, right? Much more functional. It's a little bit taller. It's a little bit more just family friendly. Like The other car is the CHR, is a little like, you know, like urban chic, whereas this is more America.
Did they tell you how much it's going to cost?
They did not announce pricing.
Okay.
So we don't know pricing. None of these vehicles were announced with pricing. So that was the first one, and then the other one was the GR86.
Oh, sweet! Yeah, the little
BRZ.
Toyota version of the BRZ.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was I think it's better looking, but they did not. At least listen to my complaint, which is to turbocharge it.
Okay.
It's unfortunately not turbocharged. I want to say it's like 220, 230 horsepower, if I remember right. Rear-wheel drive. You know, the power plant Subaru Boxer, just like the previous generation. It's funny because they had the Supra there, and then they had the GR86. I'm like, okay, Subaru partnership, BMW partnership.
Yeah, that's
both
right.
Both of their, you know, most venerable sports cars.
Yeah, neither of them are made in-house, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty cool-looking little car. I remember there was a big stink. Do you remember? Apparently, Mr. Toyoda drove it and said it was too much like a Subaru.
Yeah.
And he made him go back and tweak it and do revisions.
They didn't let us drive it.
Okay.
They gave us ride-alongs at the track in that, and the other new car that they also had there, which is the IS500. Now, that car I'm super excited about. Because the IS500 is, they shoehorned a big old V8 into that little IS. And there's a launch edition where they're making 500 of these kind of like really cool, kind of like cement colored cars, you know?
Yeah.
And they had the prototype there. But once again, we didn't get behind the wheel. And they also had an LFA there. And speaking of the LFA, I remember when the LFA first came out, Toyota did a ride-along. And I did the video and we put it up, and all of our viewers said, what's the point? You're an automotive journalist. What's the point of riding along? If you can't drive it, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to necessarily watch the video. So I didn't do videos on them. I took that to heart. I'm like, you know, the viewers are right. You guys are right. I mean, my job, my professional job, is to get behind the wheel and evaluate and review vehicles. And I certainly can't do that sitting in the passenger seat. You know, that is like smelling, you know, that is like smelling coffee without actually ever tasting it.
Okay, I gotcha.
You can't really like say anything intelligent or smart, right, about it. Yeah, it smells good. That's about all you can say.
That's all you can say.
Yeah, but is it bitter? I don't know. Is it, you know, is it rich and bodied? I don't know.
Right.
So I didn't do any of that.
So they had the GR86.
Yeah.
Then they had the L. What was it? The IS500.
Yes.
What else did they have there?
Then they had a bunch of their current products. The most interesting one was Toyota. You know, has been said to be behind the ball when it comes to electrification, and they were very adamant in saying no, that they're ahead of the curve because they were the first, you know, to do the Prius and hybridize their entire lineup, and that's electrified as well. So that's true, but they have been kind of behind the ball in terms of pure electric. So they had the very first pure electric concept. It's called the BZ4X.
Okay.
Which, guess what it is?
What is it?
It's a mid-size crossover.
That's what people are buying.
It's a little bit longer than a RAV4, and it's a little bit lower than a RAV4.
Probably could have guessed that.
Yeah, you probably could have guessed that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just had it there. It's a pretty cool looking car. And they didn't say anything about its specifications, but, you know, and I'm completely guessing here. Figure, what do you think would be the range on it?
280 miles.
They're targeting 300, I'm
yeah,
guessing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, 0 to 60 probably in about 5 seconds.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's very, it looks, you know, it, it looks very similar to kind of a modern and swoopy RAV4. So it's like RAV4 Prime taken to the next.
Is this a Lexus or is this a Toyota?
That's a Toyota. They also had the electric Lexus there. They had a Lexus concept, which was actually beautiful. And I forget what that one was called. It was also some crazy.
I did see pictures of the Toyota, and it kind of looks like a Lexus UX. I mean, it's really angular and kind of it's got, you know, really squinty headlights. So I think it's pretty cool looking. I'm curious to see if the production version is going to look like that. And I can't wait to hear the final details. Toyota, like Stellantis or FCA, has been really slow to grasp onto the full electrification. So Toyota, I think, is a leading producer of hybrids. But when it comes to full electrics, they've been way behind.
Yeah, and they were trying to dissuade people of that notion. I'm not sure it worked. So anyway, they had it there. It was cool. I guess it was unveiled at the Tokyo Auto Show, and it had a yoke on it. But when it came to America, it had a steering wheel.
So they put a steering wheel
on it. It's pretty cool. They lost the volume knob. They put volume buttons.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. There's no tuning knob. So unfortunately, you know, it's gone very modern. And I'm not sure, you know, that is more user-friendly. It is cooler.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the buttons. I think the buttons are a no-go.
And then the next day, we had a chance to go and not just go to the track, but also go off-roading. They set up an off-road track, and so Andre and I actually cranked out 4 off-road videos. We did, because these were current vehicles, right? So we did, the first one we did was Tundra TRD Pro versus Toyota TRD, versus Tacoma TRD Pro.
Okay.
Which is better off-road. These are all of which is better. Then we did LX versus GX, Lexus LX versus GX, because Lexus was there, obviously.
Yep, so they both.
Yep, and then we also did 4Runner versus Sequoia.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite one you drove that day?
I love the 4Runner.
Yeah, still the 4Runner?
Yeah, yeah. That car is like, you know, an old friend. You forget how good it is until you get reacquainted with it. And then it fits. It's the right size. You know, it's that mama bear, perfect size. It's just a great car. You know, it does everything well. It's probably the most off-road worthy of all of those if you get the right configuration. I guess I drove the new Adventure, which is like one step below the TRD Pro.
Did you drive the GX too?
I did.
And did you like the GX?
Yeah, I like the GX. It's hard to tell. You know, I think the GX is the Land Cruiser Prado in Europe, right? And
right.
The LX is a Land Cruiser.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's got identical off-roady stuff. They both have air. I think the LX might have, is it hydraulic suspension? But anyway, they can both lower and raise themselves, whether it's hydraulic or air, I'm not sure. They both have Toyota's crawl control. They both have a lockable center diff. You know, the downside of both those vehicles is their approach angle is horrendous. It just, you know, it's got that big chin that just sticks down.
Digs into the front, yeah.
But Ivan from Toyota, you know, Iron Man Ivan, who used to race Toyotas, was there, and he was giving rides to people.
Oh, that's cool.
And Andre asked him, well, what his favorite vehicle was.
Uh-huh.
And he said, by far, the LX. He couldn't get him out of the LX. He was like
the big
flogging
one?
That thing around. Yeah, the big one.
Oh.
Because they had a mud course set up, so you can go pretty quick in this, like, Texas field. So out of all those off-road, out of all the TRD Pros and all the vehicles they had there, that was the one apparently you couldn't prime out of.
Did you ride around with them?
I did not. Andre did.
Okay. And then they also had the concept, too. So they had, like, the Lexus LX, the J201?
Yeah, that's the name of the chassis.
Okay.
So they called it their COVID baby. Because during COVID, apparently, they decided that they were going to build out the most off-road worthy LX you could do.
Okay.
And I did a video on that. That's up. It's already up on TFL Off-Road. It's pretty cool. Basically, they did everything, and they did it the way a factory would. So a new front bumper, which actually, you know that LX has that spindle grille, right?
Right.
And it's really hard to, like, get a aftermarket bumper that would actually look and seem right with the spindle grille.
Sure.
So they did a bumper that actually integrated with that, stuck a worn winch into it.
Nice.
Then they did, they lifted it, of course, put rock rails on it, put a snorkel on it, this really cool snorkel, a Magnuson supercharger, so it was producing 550 horsepower. I want to say that 5.7 liter that's under the hood produces 380.
Yeah, that's right.
So they were at 550 horsepower, 550 pound-foot of torque. off-road wheels and tires.
Looks really cool.
A specialty built roof rack with max tracks and special containers so they weren't hanging out.
Did they keep the hydraulic suspension?
Yes, they kept the hydraulic suspension. And then underbody protection all the way around. On the back, they did a special bumper, once again, with integrated lights and two jerry cans, a ladder, a spare tire. Oh, for God's sakes, Tommy. I'm going to try this. Why don't you keep talking while I figure this out?
Yeah, the pictures look really cool. So it's a black LX. It's got a unique set of wheels on it with what appears to be pretty seriously aggressive off-road tire. It's a general off-road tire. The rear bumper is a little overdone, in my opinion. It's got the jerry cam mounts, and it's pretty pretty heavy. But then the ladder's cool. It's got J201 sculpted into the ladder. I mean, the LX is mechanically almost identical to the Land Cruiser, but it does share some differences. So it does have hydraulic height-adjustable suspension versus the Land Cruiser, which is fixed steel springs. It, like you mentioned, has the lower front end with the unique front fascia and rear fascia. The interior is a little bit different from than the Land Cruiser. But the thing that I think a lot of us are curious about is, will we see the new LX here anytime soon? Because the 200 series Land Cruiser LX has been around since 2008. And rumor has it that the Land Cruiser is dying here in the States, but that the LX will continue.
So they had the old Land Cruiser there. I'd definitely buy that, the Heritage Edition, right?
Well, they're $80,000-$90,000, though.
Yeah, yeah. And then the report was, of course, there's the new one, the 300 series has been shown. Right.
Well, it's been leaked.
Leaked. There are pictures like out of Malaysia of it.
Yes. Right?
So it's out there. And the story was that Toyota was not going to import it.
Okay.
Because they're only selling like 3,000 Land Cruisers annually. I mean, I guess why would you buy a Land Cruiser when you can go buy a Lexus for the same price? I guess that's the thinking. But yeah, now I think Road and Track had a story recently where Toyota might be bringing the 300 series in. So we don't know.
Okay, so
and they didn't say.
They only sell a few thousand a year, though. I mean, I don't imagine they're making a huge profit on it.
And you might be wondering, are they going to build this, off-road LX? And the answer is it's a concept, so probably not.
Probably not,
They're using it as a showcase. They're taking it to, like, a bunch of off-road expos. Inside, I think there was one of those kind of rail systems where you can compartmentize things, but they didn't open it up, so we didn't get to go inside of it.
Okay, so that was
they parked it on a giant rock, as one always does.
They just said J201, and then I also saw they had a lot of the heritage stuff too. So I saw they had a bunch of
They had, they had the 2000 GT.
Yeah,
which is the first,
And I saw every generation of Supra, I think they had them there.
No,
did you go to the track?
No, I didn't go to the track.
They had them lined up at the track, apparently.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I saw the 2000 GT, which is now, a very expensive car. It was in the first James Bond film, and they had to cut the top off of it because Sean Connery was too tall.
Yep, he was too tall, that's right.
And then they had the Supra from Fast and Furious, right?
Yep. Yeah, the fourth-gen Supra.
Yeah, the fourth-gen Supra. And then they had a Dan Gurney Celica that I saw. And then they had a Corolla GT for back in the day.
Okay.
And they also had a bunch of really cool pickup trucks.
Yeah, they did. I saw that they had every generation of the trucks,
SR5,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
everything
was really
before
cool.
The Tacoma, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it was a big event. I mean, it was like a four-day thing, and it's very rare for you to be gone more than 2 days.
And they did. There were other things I can talk about that they showed us. You can take a guess at it.
Oh, okay.
And there's other things that are still coming that are still embargoed. Lexus product, they unveiled a new Lexus product that will be hopefully Andre got to shoot it today. By the time you listen to this podcast, hopefully that same week, which is next week, it'll be embargoed.
Sweet.
All right, let's talk about, we didn't talk about the latest news, so let's talk about some news.
Okay.
We can talk about the fact that, and it's up on TFL Truck, that Ford finally and officially announced that the new, what are we calling it, a mini truck? You call it a truckette?
No, trucklet.
Trucklet, yeah.
Yeah, so trucklet apparently...
It's going to be called the Maverick. They officially announced it.
Apparently there's a new little compact truck coming.
Well, people knew that. We've had pictures of it up. We've had spy videos of it.
Yes.
But Ford officially said, yes, it's the Maverick.
Yeah, June 8th is going to be the official reveal. So we're going to have a ton of stuff coming June 8th, including a podcast Andre had the chance to talk to an engineer, the yes. engineer behind the Maverick, actually. Yes. And then we also have just a bunch of really neat content coming. So be sure to stay tuned June 8th. I think it's the morning of June 8th, if I remember correctly. So that's really exciting because anytime there's a new Ford truck, it's very big news just because they sell so darn many F-Series and Rangers.
And it's official. It's going to be the Maverick.
Yeah, so that was some big news. What else did we miss in the world? I'm trying to think if there's any other big news going on this week.
Well, Toyota could own the news cycle.
Yeah, I mean, probably the 86 was really the biggest deal, the GR86.
Yeah, that was unveiled in Europe a while ago, so it wasn't all that new.
Right.
People have already had reviews of it.
And then it's just been more and more production delays. Aria has been delayed. Yeah. I guess Bronco Sport's going to stop production here for a little bit.
Yeah, even the Tesla Plaid was delayed for like a week, I believe. Everything's getting delayed. Bronco is also delayed.
There's a new Tacoma, the TRD Pro.
Yes.
They updated that. Bright green.
Yes, I forgot. I leave that to Andre to talk. You know, we have two podcasts. We have Talking Cars and Truck Talk, right?
Yep.
And so we leave that to Truck Talk. But yeah, we did a video. It's over on TFL Truck. You can see it. They did this like electric green. It looks like the color the Gatorade is. And you can see it from space. And when we're talking about it, I might as well give you the details because there aren't many. It's like a half inch lift.
Mm-hmm.
New hood graphics. What else is there? New tires, I believe, different wheels, and they stamped TRD Pro into the side of the
bed
in
yeah.
the back of it. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, other thing too, there's a new GR Supra, the A91 CF edition.
Yeah, that was there. It's basically a lightweight track focus Supra. A lot of carbon fiber everywhere.
More downforce. I think they're only making like 600 of them, though. Yeah. It's going to be a limited production thing.
Yeah.
So if you're
and by the way, Andre and I did get to drive the Supra to the track.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a fun car.
It's not a good Texas car. As much as I love the Supra.
What's wrong with the Supra in Texas?
Because every vehicle in Texas is a truck. And like we were coming onto some road construction, and I had no clue what was happening because all I saw was the tail end of a bunch of pickup trucks.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and you are very low in Texas country in a Supra. Very low.
Oh, there's also going to be a new Sportage. Forgot about that. There's going to be a new Sportage on June 8th, Kia Sportage. A lot going on next week, too.
Let's talk about next week. So I'm off to L.A. next week to drive the new Mercedes S-Class.
Okay.
And where are you heading to?
I am going to, I don't even know where I'm flying to. I think it's Atlanta Monday.
You're not flying to Atlanta. You're flying to Detroit.
I think it's in Atlanta.
The Jeep?
Well, hang on.
You were going to go to the factory.
That's
in Detroit.
Right. No, that doesn't add up. Something doesn't
You're
add
going
up here.
To Detroit.
Let's see where I'm going.
There's a new factory that they're going to show off, and then there's a new off-road park in Detroit. I think that you're going to go on with the new Grand Cherokee.
Yep, that's right. I'm going to Detroit. I'm going to Austin for something else in June. But yeah, there's going to be the new Grand Cherokee L.
Yes.
Drive program's going on next week, so I'm going to have a chance to go check that out and see what the Grand Cherokee L is all about. That'll be pretty cool. I don't know where I got Atlanta from. Yeah, maybe I just really wanted to go to Georgia.
And you know who else is going down south? Case from TFL Bike. He's going down with Honda to do this little like Grom festival. You know those little tiny 125s?
It's a small bore festival, and he's going to go ride the brand new Honda Grom.
Deploy the monkey.
There will be a few monkeys there, I think.
Deploy the monkey.
But it's like this big gathering of small bore Honda products from all around the country, and they're going to have the brand new Grom. So the Grom is this little sport bike, which is hugely popular. So I know he's very excited to check that out. He flew out this morning. Today's Friday. So lots going on.
Yeah, and then over the weekend, we're publishing some really fun videos. So if you want to see that new Lexus concept, it'll be on TFL Off-Road. If you guys want to see the first Ike Gauntlet that we've done forever, go to TFL Truck. We're publishing that on Sunday. So go and check that out. I forgot what two trucks. We did a whole bunch of Ike Gauntlets recently, and it's a big project to do. It's a big project to edit. So the first one was published this Sunday. And what else is going on?
I think that's a classics video. I've got Pathfinder, old versus new.
Oh, that's cool.
That's coming up this weekend. Yeah. That'll be pretty fun. Genesis G80 will be up this weekend, too. We just got one delivered.
TFL Now. That's a beautiful car.
Really nice car, yeah.
I got to tell you, Tommy, the Korean manufacturers, Hyundai and Kia, are just knocking out of the ballpark. I love the Ioniq 5, which I got to see. They're just every one of their cars is now a winner. You know, they're really doing a good job. I think that They've really set the bar for what a manufacturer can do at a price point that is much lower than the competition.
That's all good stuff. Yeah. I really would like to drive that IONIQ 5. It's a new electric crossover SUV. Looks super cool. Very jealous that you got to play with it in person.
And then we've got some new bikes at the office at the bike channel. So we've got a new Ducati Desert Sled, which is a scrambler that we'll be reviewing. And then two Hondas. So thank you, Honda.
Yeah, we've got the CRF 450, and then we also have a 500 adventure bike. So tons coming up on that, too.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. The boys, Alex, and actually, I think Alex is taking over next week, or this week, the truck channel. So they had to pick up those two bikes in Grand Junction, and we happened to have, of course, the brand new Silverado Heavy Duty 2500 Duramax.
Yep.
At the office, so they actually went and took the Duramax and did an MPG test and drove, which is 500 miles round trip, by the way, from here to Grand Junction and back over the Ike Gauntlet, over Vail Pass. And the whole trick there was, could they actually make it there and back, pick up the two motorcycles in Grand Junction and make it back on one tank of gas? And conceivably the answer is yes, because I think that's a 34-gallon tank in that Silverado. And so depending on its fuel economy, that was a challenge.
Well, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, that's going to be up on TFL Truck very soon.
Well, we'll let you get back to your Monday now, guys. Thank you for letting us interrupt it for about 50 minutes.
Yes, let us know in the comments below what you think of the vehicle over my shoulder. Is it the right move for BMW, or did they go a little SUV crazy?
All right, we'll see you next time.
Ciao.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.